Morning. I'd like to share with you an abbreviated form of Pastor Michael Eggstad's sermon from Ministry by Mail from October 2002. The text for this sermon is found in John 8, 31-36. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, 'You shall be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." On a small island across the bay from San Francisco stands the old federal prison of Alcatraz. A visit to this prison is not soon forgotten, as those of you who have been there undoubtedly know. It doesn't take long after you've left the boat and gone in through the prison doors to realize that you've entered a different world. You're handed a small cassette player, a pair of headphones, and an informational tape, and then you're allowed to wander through the vast complex on your own. Pretty soon, then, the atmosphere of the place begins to sink in. You may feel a twinge of unease. A shiver may run down the back of your neck as you realize what prison life must have been like. You walk by row after row of 5x8 cells stacked 2 or 3 high. You can see on the bars where the paint has been worn away by the prisoner's hands. You try to imagine what it would have been like to spend 18 hours in that cell for years, even decades, with no phones, with no televisions, with almost no contact with the outside world whatsoever. You also try to imagine the torture of having to walk to the dining hall and just getting small glimpses of San Francisco gleaming in the sunlight through the heavily barred windows, and yet knowing that you couldn't get there. The desperation and the yearning in the heart for freedom must have been unbearable. Jesus spoke about freedom to the Jews in our text, but they bristled at the implication that they were prisoners or slaves. "Don't you know who we are? We are Abraham's descendants. We are God's special people. Other nations, they might be enslaved to sin, but certainly not us. We are free men." Our own pride suggests very similar things in spiritual matters, that I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian. I've been a good church member for years. I lead a good life. Other people need to hear about freedom for sin, not me. Jesus goes on to explain for the Jews and also for us, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." The Jews prided themselves on their family heritage and their exemplary outward lives, yet they were still sinners. You might have never done anything that put you behind prison doors, but you were still born a prisoner to sin. You are no different than David, who confessed, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." John further adds, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." God didn't say to you, "Well, just do the best you can and I'll take care of the rest." Or, "Please, just avoid the big sins and we're fine." No, he told you, "Be holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy." Anything less than that is sin. And each one of those sins is another bar in our prison, locking us in and holding us accountable to God. And that prison of sin is worse than 1,000 Alcatrazes, because the sentence is eternal. Luther knew this, and it terrified him. He was afraid to close his eyes at night for fear that he would wake up facing an angry judge who would definitely condemn him. He wrote in Hymn 387 of this horror, "Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day, in sin my mother bore me. Yea, deep and deeper still I fell, life had become a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me. Touring Alcatraz, you hear that there were many attempts to escape the prison, but that no one made it out alive. There were just too many obstacles in the way. Cement walls, guards with shotguns, razor wire. And if you made it past all that, there was still the ocean and the treacherous ocean currents blocking your path to freedom. The only way then out of Alcatraz was to have a judge come and say that your debt to society had been paid in full. Then, and only then, would you be able to leave as a free man. For us, God is a just judge. This means that he cannot bypass the problem of sin. He cannot ignore that command that he gave each of you to be holy. But thankfully, we don't have to do the impossible and try and find that holiness in ourselves. Instead, the Lord invites us to put our trust in him. Jesus sets us free then by taking our place. And so the bars of our prison disappear. The walls are broken down and the gate to freedom swings wide open. Jesus sets you free. Because of his life and his death and resurrection, you're no longer held in that prison of sin. And because it is God's doing from start to finish, you don't have to spend days and nights like Luther agonizing over whether you've done enough or whether you've done it well enough. We have the truth of God, which stands forever, that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The Son has set you free. You are free indeed. Amen. Sing hymn 465, all stanzas of hymn 465.